With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All righty. What is going on? Tiki and Tierney here. Getting ready. Third hour of the show, CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you from The Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. So, tick-tock. Time is ticking on the Cowboys and the Dallas Cowboys, the Cowboys and Dak Prescott, to get some resolution, to be very frank with everybody, on a subject that is desperately in need of resolution. Because, you know, I was texting the guys through the break, like, I almost couldn't be less interested in talking about Dak than I actually am. Like, at this point, because it's been in large part a regurgitation of a lot of the same stuff. However, because we're a week away, because for them to actually work out a long-term deal, otherwise got to play on the tag deal, 32 and a half this year, and because the clock is ticking, and it's more, you know, it's more aware, we're more aware of where we are with this right now. I am fully prepared to dive face first, belly flop, if you will, into a hardcore Dak Prescott conversation as if we've never dissected it at all. Like the starting point, how we view him as a player, what we view his upside to be, how we view him and measure him against his peers in the NFL, how we might view him with Mike McCarthy versus Jason Garrett. Are you ready to roll up the sleeves and almost treat this as the first round of batting practice for Dak? I think that's the only way to do it. Well, otherwise, I'll fall asleep.
Yes, maybe. But I think you gotta lay the circumstances out first that are facing Dak right now. So Pat Mahomes just signed a decade-defining deal. Really, maybe a league history defining deal for a quarterback, signing for 10 years for almost over half a billion dollars if he plays out the entirety of the contract as is. Now, that's not going to happen because there's going to be some adjustments and there's these escalator guarantees along the way. And in fact, he might get over half a billion dollars if he's still in his prime, you know, come, you know, age 30 or 31 or whatever it is, and he does an extension to the already existing deal. So, I mean, it's era-defining, right, this Pat Mahomes deal. Dak Prescott is not Pat Mahomes. We know that. Dak Prescott does, however, have the benefit of being the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys for the last 4 years, and he's been really good as the starting quarterback for the last 4 years, even when Zeke Elliott was out with the suspension and he had to put the game on his shoulders at times. Now, the questions surrounding Dak, though, the questions around Dak are twofold, at least when I look, at least as I look at it.
Okay.
One is, do you want to sign a deal now, knowing that the Cowboys don't have cap room, knowing that you actually haven't proven anything yet because he hasn't won ultimately on the ultimate levels, like deep into the postseason and certainly not a Super Bowl, and take a below market what Pat Mahomes' deal was? Or do you want to play on the franchise tag and use it as it's supposed to be used? That is, a prove-it year. Right? Like like Kirk Cousins did. You don't believe in me? Sign me to the franchise tag. You don't believe in me again? I'll sign another franchise tag. Because guess what, Cowboys? I know you don't have another option. Now, there may be somebody coming out in college, but we're not going to be bad enough with all of the options and the weapons that we have on this team to be in position to draft one of those top-end quarterbacks. So your option is me. Your option is me this year. Your option is me next year. And if we're going to play this game year over year over year, and I know I'm protected because quarterbacks are protected in the National Football League, then pay me $31 million this year. Mm-hmm. And then pay me $38 million next year. And then if you finally decide that I'm the guy, guess what the starting point is? $40-something million dollars to get me a long-term deal when the salary cap is much more healthy and their salary cap is much more healthy and the league revenues have exploded because of the new TV deals. So as I look at this, the questions are easy. Is Dak Prescott the guy that's won you a championship and deserves this record, you know, era-setting deal like Pat Mahomes? Absolutely not. Should Dak Prescott play on the franchise tag and prove it? Absolutely yes. That's mm-hmm. what I would do if I was Dak Prescott. I know there's a week left, mm-hmm. but you can't get the money that you want right now. So don't even try.
Okay, those are the financial particulars. I'm going to attack it from a different level. I don't need to exhaust that. Tiki teed that up for you. We've been doing that for a long time. Good job on that, Teak. Just making sure everybody's on the same page with the finances, what it means moving forward. And conceptually, I agree. I would do the same thing. I'd play on it. I'd bet on myself. At worst, I bank $33 million roughly, and I go from there and I reevaluate. But I would do the same thing.
Yep.
But my angle is this. Like, just imagine, like, if there were, you know, you ever see, like, oh, you have money on a game, right? come on, football gods, why are you doing that? Oh, God, it's raining, and, you know, now they're going to run the ball, and I'm not going to hit the over, or this guy misses a field goal because he slips on his plant foot, and he doinks it, and the over, or you're getting 3 points, or you're giving 3 points, and it hits the upright, you lose the bet. And you look up, and we've all been there, and you look up and you say, ah, football gods, what are you doing to me? Well, sometimes the football gods work the other way, too, and while they are mythical, there's something tangible to them. I know that that seems like a contradiction, but imagine, because we've all had these conversations too, pertaining to players and what we need, especially fans who need a quarterback. And Brown fans have asked for these people. Bills fans have done this over the years. Jet fans have lamented this in their plight for you know, years and years. The Cardinals, outside of Kurt Warner and Kyler Murray and, you know, Carson Palmer, but 20 years of asking the same question, 30 years, right? A lot of teams have asked the question, and they said, man, football gods, sit down. I got to talk to you. And I'm not asking for much, but I am asking for this today. Can you please, at some point in my lifetime, send me a young, durable, smart, steady leader who wins, and to quantify that, will go 16 games over 500 thus far in his career. That's what Dak is. He's efficient. He completes 66% of his passes. Please, football gods, just bestow this upon me. He protects the football. He's got 61 more touchdowns than picks. So he's young, he's durable, he's smart, he's steady, he's a leader, he wins, he protects the ball, and he scores a lot more touchdowns than he gives it back to the other team. Can you please give me that guy? Well, guess what? The Dallas Cowboys, that wish was granted.
Yes.
But the complex part about this is twofold. Number one, they waited too long to hammer out this deal, so now we're at this odd point.
They prioritize Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper.
Yep.
Which, why? I mean, I don't know.
They messed up
big time, dude.
Number two, and this is more of a question than a statement, is it irresponsible to suggest, is it outlandish to think that in 2 years, maybe even this year, that Dak is the third best quarterback in the NFC East behind Carson Wentz and Daniel Jones?
Maybe. That's a great
is
question.
Is that crazy?
I mean, no. Could I see it happen? Of course.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, and if it does, then where is Dak, right? I mean, ultimately, he's going to get paid. He's going to make us a good amount of money because he's been really good. And to be honest with you, he's been grossly underpaid given all the things that you just laid out, BT.
Yep.
Like that list is profound because that's what you look for when you look for a quarterback, your franchise quarterback in the National Football League. It's exactly what you look for.
That's it. It's central casting.
It's exactly who, and he's African-American, at least part African-American as well.
And he's pretty big. He's thick,
big.
He's durable.
He looks the part. He speaks the part.
Yes, he does.
He is exactly what you want. want. No. And but they screwed up in the process of getting him a long-term deal, and now they're stuck not being able to because the salary cap constraints this season, and then obviously the ones that are going to occur next year because the cap is going down. Like, I mean, we've seen
how much it, you think.
I don't know. I mean, I hope honestly, I hope it stays steady. I hope they find a way to keep it steady. You're starting to see some plans about capacity in stadiums. I know the Ravens shrunk it 81% or something like that. So it's only going to be 14 or 15,000 fans in that 78 or so thousand seat stadium. So there's going to be some fans. So the loss of revenue is a little bit mitigated, but I hope it stays steady. But I think it's going to fall like 5 million or so.
Wow.
It's not going to rise. It's not going to rise 10 million like it's done over the last couple of years.
You can't find a way to keep it stagnant just for the symbolism of it.
Maybe, but that's
start going backwards in 2020 with all the money football makes.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that there aren't circumstances that might make you,
you know, it'll change it a lot. A lot will determine the pre conversations of the new TV rights deal. Right, they want to obviously try to get this thing done before it expires next year, just like they did with the CBA with the players. So that will determine it. But if they don't do that, Dak Prescott is not going to be able to take that record-setting deal. He's never going to meet Patrick Mahomes. And so a question arises: what should the Cowboys do? What should they offer to try to get this thing solved? And I think there's pressure now on Dak Prescott to take a team-friendly deal. Because prior to this Pat Mahomes conversation, the deal was how can we get Dak Prescott close to $35 to $40 million a year, which is what he was asking for.
Yep.
But we know that that's punitive anymore. And so unless they're going to give him more years, which he doesn't want to do because he wants to take a second bite of that apple, or lump on tons of money on the backside like Pat Mahomes, the Cowboys can't do with Dak like the Chiefs did with Pat Mahomes. And to be honest, they shouldn't. It's a different player. And so I see this as one way. There's a one-way solution to this. Play on the franchise tag. It's got this negative connotation. But for quarterbacks who are by and large injury-proof, you know, unless you're a runner or you have something freak happen to your shoulder or elbow, like we saw a big Ben, who's 37 years old, by the way.
Yeah.
You're mostly injury proof. Yeah. And all you have to do is keep on the trajectory that you've been on, and you're going to get that long-term deal. Dak just has just mitigating circumstances because of the team that he's playing for and the mismanagement of their finances that we've seen over the last couple of years.
All right, so let me flip this to you here because we both agree he should play for 32 and a half. We both agree on the long list of appealing characteristics.
Yep.
And we also both agree that Dallas messed this up. All right, so here's two questions for you that, granted, there's a lot of speculation involved, but we can answer this. In 5 years, assuming health, in 5 years, is he the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys?
I'm going to say yeah.
I would lean closer to yes. I wouldn't disagree with that.
And because BT, who else is replacing him?
You never know though, because we didn't even know about Kyler Murray 2 years ago.
Yeah, but but Arizona.
Jalen Hurts is a second round pick. But, we didn't think he'd get drafted.
But
you don't know.
But here's
I don't know.
Here's the thing. If And I don't want to get into a Kyler Murray discussion, but I honestly believe it was the perfect set of circumstances for him to go number one overall. If the Arizona Cardinals don't one and done, Josh Rosen.
That didn't sound right.
Why am I forgetting his name? I'm forgetting
DC,
his name.
From Carolina, Wilkes.
Yeah, Wilkes. If they don't one and done him and draft a quarterback and then one and done him also.
Mm-hmm.
And then hire Cliff Kingsbury. It's a perfect circumstances for Kyler Murray to go number one to the Arizona Cardinals.
But he validated offense, that he's good enough by his play.
I agree, I don't think that he's being evaluated like that by any of the other teams that were available. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're probably right. That's a good point.
And so who knows where he ultimately would have
But he would have been drafted.
Yeah, of course he would have, but would he have been a number one overall pick?
No, but he probably would have been a first-round pick.
There's a lot of noise.
We'll never really know.
Yeah.
But the point being, there's so many players Jordan Love was a first. I mean, we knew about him, of course, but there's always guys who emerge, and conversely, there's always guys who drop. Like, I remember, you know, years ago we thought Brent Hundley from UCLA was going to be a first round pick. What did he go, third or fourth? He's on at least two teams now.
Yeah, that's
right. Backup, probably a backup for the rest of his life.
That's right.
So you really don't know. So
Lamar Jackson fell. You remember?
He Lamar
fell
Jackson
all the way down to the bottom of the first round.
Yes,
and he
did.
Just won the MVP.
Great call. So this is throwing darts, admittedly. So when I asked Teague, you know, is he the quarterback of Dallas in 5 years? There's somebody. I mean, is Jerry still running the show? Is it somebody? Yeah, you never know. But I'll say yes as well. The next question, do you believe that as we reflect upon the lore of NFL history, whether it's 10 years from now or 30, that this is a guy who wins a Super Bowl?
I'm gonna
For that, I will lean more towards no.
Yeah. I'm going to say no.
Okay. So if that's true, why would you sign him long term? And it, by the way, if we think it to be true, it's obviously not necessarily
because
going
I think he has the ability to get them close enough.
But that's not what it's all about. I know, Dallas Cowboys.
I know, but
get close.
I know, but
that's what the Knicks do. They're happy being close.
But think
Cowboys
about,
are supposed to win.
But think about the quarterbacks who have won Super Bowls. You know, and we had this conversation around Joe
a million times over the
years.
Well,
around Burrow specifically in this draft, right? Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. Unless you have an elite defense to go along with your team, right? The Redskins, the Ravens, the Buccaneers, the, you know, the early Giants, you know,
85 Bears,
85
Giants,
Bears, yep, like yep, yep. All. Unless you have an elite, the Washington Redskins,
72 Dolphins.
Yep. Unless you have an elite defense, your quarterback better be a Hall of Famer. Otherwise, you're not winning a Super Bowl.
It's just, I remember when you documented that whole thing. Yeah,
history just tells you that that's the case.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much.
And so When you have a guy at the helm and you're going to pay him some money, and your goal is to win a Super Bowl, and it may not be the first question at the front of your mind, but it better be somewhere in your head. Is this guy a Hall of Famer? And if the answer is no, then you don't pay him. If the answer is yes or maybe, then you can pay the guy.
Interesting. So we'll leave it at that. We've got a week for the Dallas Cowboys and Dak to hammer out this long-term deal. I don't think they get there. You don't necessarily think they get there. We both know he's worth that money in the 30s. It is amazing, though. For a guy that nobody really doubts is worth X amount of money somewhere in the 30s, there's fewer people, or there's a lot of people who then quickly jump off the ship when it comes point to go from that declaration about what he's worth to, is he going to win a Super Bowl? Is he one of the best quarterbacks in the game? Like, he's got a lot of support early, but then a lot of people kind of scurry off the deck when it's getting to that next level of evaluation.
Right. That's right.
It's an interesting one for Dallas. We'll see what happens. All right, Brad Lidge is going to stop by. He's really good. He's a great analyst. Played in the bigs, former closer, had some really big seasons, Phillies, et cetera. Major League Baseball Network radio analyst. You know, listen, you're watching what we're watching every day, MLB Network flashing around the various camps, and we're not too far away from the season if it gets underway without any interruption. Talk a little baseball, talk some shop with Brad Lidge next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When your battery goes dead, everything could come to a stop. Don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. And if your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your car on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Or, when you need auto parts fast, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. And now, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy a set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Get your auto parts quickly. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices, every day.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Do you know that right now GEICO's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit GEICO.com to learn more. All right, let's jump from the Dak Prescott contract stuff right to the diamond, do a little baseball. Two-time All-Star, one with Houston, one with the Phillies, was on the Phil's championship team at 08. And it's got a couple of big seasons, a couple of times over 40 saves. He was dominant in flashes for sure. And he's good on the radio as well. He's an analyst, MLB Network Radio, and we've had him on the show. It's been a little bit, but we welcome back Brad Lidge on Tiki and Tierney. Brad, what's happening, buddy? How are you today?
Hey, listen, I'm doing great. Excited to see baseball continue to progress in this summer camp or spring training 2.0 or whatever you want to call it. And, yeah, just glad things are finally moving forward here.
That's all of us, man. You know, I want to hit you with this to start because I'm watching it, you know, living in New Jersey, I get the Yes Network with the Yankee, Yes Network, I get SNY with the Mets, obviously the whip around with MLB, so they're jumping around from camp to camp. I'm soaking it all in. I love it. But what I noticed, you know, over the weekend when Tanaka took a bullet off the cranium, literally, from Stanton at 112 miles per hour exit velo, which is a smash job, as you well know, there was no L screen there. And it just seems like, it seems like if this was March and they were this early in camp, wouldn't there have been an L screen there? Like, I feel like they're accelerating everything.
Oh, man, you know what? I would say it's pitcher dependent, honestly, because, you know, when I pitched in spring training, regardless if it was the first day or the last day, I never wanted to have that L screen there. It kind of blocked my vision a little bit right when I released the pitch. So it always messed me up to the point where I just couldn't pitch with it. So I always told him, just move it off the field and I'll just roll the dice. But, you know, when something like that happens, I think for Tanaka, maybe next time he brings that sucker out, because it really can be dangerous. And when you're facing the likes of, you know, Stanton and Aaron Judge and the exit velocity off their bats, which is two of the highest by far in baseball, you're gonna maybe think twice about whether you want an L screen out there or not.
Yeah, gotcha. No, it makes a lot of sense. You know, that injury was a little bit freakish, but, you know, what do you think the risk is here for injury? Guys started spring training, as we all know, it obviously got shut down for, you know, a month and a half or 2 months here, and now it's restarting again, and there's an urgency and acceleration to get to the regular season. What's the injury situation bound to be like this year?
Well, I think certainly the potential for injuries in this kind of bunched up spring training is higher. You know, you normally have 6 weeks to ramp yourself up, and, you know, in a regular spring training. Now, obviously, guys have had a little spring training, and then they've been doing whatever they can between the actual spring training and now. So I'm not saying they need a full 6 weeks, but I also don't think there's enough time to let yourself get ready gradually.
Yeah.
And because of that, I think, you know, listen, we've got like just a little bit over 2 weeks. I think guys are going to go nice and slow here for another week, and then all of a sudden they're going to say, oh my gosh, I've got, you know, my numbers are on the line in a week. I've got to get ready fast. And they're going to try and jump from, you know, 80% to 100% quickly. And I think that's where you might see some injuries, you know, guys trying to leg out doubles or, you know, pitchers saying, I've been out there throwing 80% working on command. I got to get to 100% now. And you might see a guy strain, you know, an elbow or pull something, you know, doing that. So I think the potential for injury is definitely higher here. And I think we're going to see probably a handful more than we're used to on this last week of summer camp, summer training, whatever you want to call it, because guys just got to force themselves to get ready this year.
You think Mike Trout's playing this year?
Yes, I do. I think he will play this year. I think, look, when guys got back to camp here, you know, not too long ago, I think there were some problems, obviously, with the testing and having the people in the right place. And I think it probably made all the players kind of think twice about what they were doing. And I'm sure there were a lot of guys that were saying, is this really going to be worth it? And I think, you know, Trout spoke his mind and kind of said some of the things out loud that a lot of players were thinking. But every day that goes by, that players get more invested in the season and get their minds focused on what's going on, as long as there's not some kind of, you know, breakout of COVID in Angels camp, I think that Trout absolutely will play. And the closer and closer we get to the season, I think you're going to see guys really locked in and really feeling like, you know, I've done all this work, I'm ready to go, you know, nothing's going to stop me now.
That's two-time All-Star World Series champ with the 08 Phillies. That is Brad Lidge with us here on the show, MLB Network Radio analyst.
Now, Brad, a couple of days ago, we had Tom Glavine on, and he brought up something at the end of our interview that I hadn't even thought about. We were talking about the asterisks towards the World Series champion, but he mentioned, what about the MVP or the Cy Young or any of these awards, these major awards that are career defining if you should win one. And how do you evaluate this in 60 games? I mean, we talk about, you know, starting pitchers who may be going after a Cy Young. They're used to getting, you know, 25, who knows how many starts. They're going to get, what, six or seven, right? You know, if they're right, lucky, right, and, right. And maybe go like five innings because of the injury risk. How do you even begin to determine the right value for those awards this year?
It's a great question, and I think, you know, because of the short nature, the short burst of a season here, we're going to see some obscure numbers. We're going to see some outlandish, you know, maybe somebody hits 400 this year. I mean, it could happen in a 60-game burst. We're going to see some different numbers than we're used to. But I would say this. To me, it would seem that because starters won't really be allowed to go as long into games, because I think – first of all, they're just not going to get as many repetitions in summer training, but also because I think you're going to see more managers manage the game like that postseason stretch. So, you know, where starters come out a little bit earlier, you go to your bullpen a little bit earlier, you might see a Cy Young Award winner this year that's a closer for a certain team because he might be utilized right away and often for these 60 games. So I think that kind of allows maybe certain guys that wouldn't normally have a fighting chance at a Cy Young Award to have more of a chance at it this year. But I would not be surprised at all if we see, you know, some of the names for MVP or Cy Young that you would not in a million years put money down on Vegas, because it's really anyone's, you know, it's up for grabs. I mean, whoever gets off to a great start and is able to sustain it for just 60 games can get this thing. And we've seen some crazy numbers from guys that kind of came out of nowhere after, you know, a couple months of the season and then kind of disappeared in the second half. But we don't have a second half. So you could see some names that are very unfamiliar winning some awards this year.
So, Brad, anybody, you know, as we evaluate the season, you know, in real time and more so after it, and we assess, you know, what transpired, obviously it's the most unique season of all time, at least in our lifetime, actually all time probably.
Yep. right.
So if we want to be fair, we have to incorporate that. So I hopefully people are fair, all right? But in terms of pressure – it's probably different pressure because it's only 60 games versus 162. What team, you know, what player, what skipper, what front office, who's really facing the most pressure this season, do you think, to do well?
Well, I think, you know, you look at the Yankees and the Dodgers. I mean, you know, they are – the Dodgers got Mookie Betts and David Price to come over. David Price has opted out. You know, there's no guarantee that the Dodgers are going to keep Mookie Betts for next year. I mean, there's no guarantee he's going to sign back with them or anything. So – I think the Dodgers are under a lot of pressure to cash in on this. The Yankees have the squad. You know, they got Gerrit Cole. They'll have him for a while. But I think those are the teams that are so heavily favored in their, you know, respective leagues. I mean, the American League, everyone's thinking the Yankees are going to take it. The National League, everyone's thinking the Dodgers are going to take it. So I think they're under the most pressure, even though, you know, you don't have the 162 games to prove who you are.
Yep.
They're still going to be under the gun to get this thing done. But it really does allow for maybe some younger teams that you wouldn't normally think would have a chance. In 162 games, they wouldn't have a chance. But it's a sprint now, and if they get off to a good start, they might have the energy to sustain it for 60 games. So I think you're going to see some younger teams have some energy that allows for them to be in the playoff mix, and normally they wouldn't have a fighting chance at doing it. You know, I'd say pressure-wise, I got to go with the Yankees and the Dodgers.
Yeah, real quickly before you let you go here, Brad, Bob Manfred has been under fire all season long, really all off season long, because of the handling of the Astros fiasco, then the Red Sox, and then obviously this pandemic negotiation with the owners and the players. We know that the CBA is coming up in a year or so, but the trust level and I guess confidence level from an owner standpoint, from a player standpoint, where is he? And how does he rebound from this horrendous first 6 months of 2020?
Well, listen, I think if you're a player or a fan, Manfred's in a bad spot right now. I don't think, you know, a whole lot of people are looking at him fondly right now. I think he's made some comments that, you know, he walked back and he made bad comments in the first place, and then he walked him back in incorrect times. And I think that kind of rubbed everyone the wrong way. And so, the players' union has not a whole lot of love or trust for Manfred right now. And I honestly don't think there's a ton he could do to get it back at the moment. You know, the collective bargaining for Major League Baseball is going to happen after 2021, and there's going to be a lot of hurt feelings going into that. And I guarantee you that the players are not going to hold back. They're going to be very upset by how this thing played out. And I think it could get pretty ugly next year. I don't want to say that we're going to have a strike or anything, but I think we have a higher potential for that in baseball, you know, coming up after 2021 than we've ever seen because of the way that Manfred's handled a lot of things. So it's too bad. The players don't trust him at all right now. And I think that he's going to have to figure out different ways here and there to try and get the trust back on his side, or at least to try and make players not hate him. Because right now, I think a lot of guys, I wouldn't even say they're neutral or they're ignoring, they flat out dislike him. So I don't know how you repair that in a year and a half before the next collective bargaining. And that's what makes me nervous.
You know, I thought I was done, but I want to at least ask you real quick, only about 45 seconds or so on the answer. It's Brad Lidge, former All-Star, two times World Series champ in Philly. And I want to hit on something from Philly. First of all, Girardi is going to make that whole team and that organization so much better. Listen, Philadelphia once booed Mike Schmidt. I mean, we know about the reputation of the fans.
They booed Santa Claus. That's right.
And Santa at the Eagles game. Correct. Bryce Harper, the numbers eventually got to where he needed them to get, although the OPS was below 900, and for that ballpark, it should be higher. On a scale of 1 to 10, like how accepting were Philly fans of his first season with the team? Because I felt like they wanted a little bit more, but you would know more than me.
Well, I think, you know, certainly the first half they were wanting more. But as you said, he righted the ship, and he actually had a pretty big second half of the season.
Yep.
He's said and done all the right things in Philly to get the fans on his side. So he's really – I think the fans really do like him. I think they look at the first season as saying, okay, maybe not, you know, exactly where we want him going forward, but that works for us. So I think he's in a good spot with the fans. I think he's a guy, Bryce, that normally gets off to great starts at the beginning of seasons, and sometimes toward the middle it lags a little bit. But if he gets off to a great start this year, he could put together a fantastic 60-game stretch. Their lineup is fully healthy, so he doesn't have as much pressure on him. So watch for Bryce to have a big year and the fans to just, you know, fall in love with this guy.
And they're going to love Didi Gregorius as well. And if they keep rocking those powder blue throwback 1980-something uniform from Von Hayes, how sweet are those uniforms, man?
I'll tell you what, I kept my jersey from our throwback game when we had those, when I was playing with the Phillies, even though we were supposed to hand it in. I snuck it in my batting bag because I love those things. They're awesome.
They are sweet. Going back to Greg Luzinski. Hey, listen, good having you on the show, Brad. Good stuff today.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. It was fun.
Thank you, Brad.
The Bull, Greg Luzinski, those old throwbacks. He had the stripes, too. But all right, let's get the update. Ack knows those uniforms. He's been around long enough to remember them. We'll get the update from Ack. We'll come back. The Blast is after Ack. Rich Ackerman's update right now. Here he is.
All right, time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day before we get to the Blast and send you off your way as we start to move into the deeper part of the week. All right, halfway home. Let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from, let's go to St. Paul, Minnesota, and Mike wants to know. He says, hey, fellas, if the Ivy League cancels fall sports and the Power Five conferences don't and players get sick, how will the Power Five conferences be viewed by public opinion? Well, I mean, if they get sick, they're going, if there's fall football, players are going to get sick. If Mike means sick and die, God forbid, or sick and on ventilators for 30, 40 days, that's a different conversation.
Yeah, it's a different conversation. If they get sick, I mean, I don't mean in mass, but let's say like 20 per a team, and they're all healthy, I think it'll be viewed, and they're quarantined, and they're, you know, they don't continue to spread, and everything kind of gets under control. I think it'll be viewed as a, I think as a positive, right? They managed it, but we're still able to get the season, you know, completed. If things get dire, as BT was just alluding to, then they'll be crushed, you know, utterly crushed. And it might put the future of the game in jeopardy, at least for that season, at least for that school.
Thanks for the question, Mike. Appreciate it. Hopefully everything is as safe as it could be out there in Minnesota. The Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Tiki, ready for a little blast action?
Yep,
see what Santa assembled today?
Let's blast away.
Let's go for it.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
A couple of NFL items out of the chute. Titans GM John Robinson told the Nashville radio station yesterday that the Titans would consider bringing in Steven Goskowski, former Pat, to compete with Greg Joseph for the kicking job. These days, How important is a good kicker?
I think it's imperative, BT, towards winning and losing anymore, because we've started to see with the new extra point, that's not a guarantee. At least it's not as much of a guarantee anymore. And if you miss an extra point, it changes your game planning and your call making as you get into the third and fourth quarter. So you need a guy who's automatic. And so competition is the greatest thing in the world, especially in at football. So I'm going to say this is a great idea, and I think more teams should do more of this.
I'd bring him in as well. Sometimes you stage a competition, it can propel somebody into a season that is a season of overachievement, because quite frankly, they're kicking for their football existence in July and August. And when they get to December, or you know, a 37-yarder on the road in November with 80,000 people booing them, it's like they kind of been there already. So I like the practice, but I'm going to disagree a little bit. Now, I would never say the kicker's not important, but I would say that it's somewhat less important than it used to be. Because, you know, back in the day, if you had a guy that, you know, I mean, back in the day, like a 42-yarder was like a bomb, you know, 43, oh, God, is he going to hit this? I don't know. Now it's like, all right, let's go to the bathroom because it's going to go through the uprights. The extra point's been a little bit dicey, as we know, and the stats bear that out. But the way the game is played, the rules, and the total points per game by both teams scored has slowly risen. You know, points aren't quite at the premium the way they used to be. So I hear you. I see it a little differently. That's how I go. Our buddy Bruce Arians told the Tampa Bay Times this week, the players, a quote, the players, they're all going to get sick. That's for sure. It's just a matter of how sick they get, end quote. Thoughts on his comments? Not accurate. I mean, I love Bruce, but that's just not an accurate statement. Not everybody's going to get sick. It is what it is. There are going to be players who do get sick, who get sick at very inopportune times that might lead to something unprecedented in terms of delaying and postponing of games. I honestly don't know. I vouched for the creation of a 33rd team without an affiliation, kind of like the XFL had a 9th team. So if somebody goes down, especially if there's a rash of positive COVID-19 testing, you're not just taking guys off the street. At least these guys have been practicing. There's no way Bruce could be right with that statement, because when you say everybody's going to get sick, that simply is not going to be the case.
Yeah, he's being hyperbolic here, and I don't think in a good way. We love Bruce, but that's statistically it's not going to go that way. Just like when the regular flu takes over teams, not everybody on the team gets sick. Now you may get a bunch of guys that get sick, but not everybody's going to get sick. But look, I think the reality is there, though, that it's just going to happen. It's going to happen in baseball. Adam Silver was even talking about this happening in the Orlando bubble. Guys are going to get sick, and it's going to be all about how you manage that, whether to determine whether or not, just like with the Ask the Pros question, VT, you know, whether or not, you know, it's viewed as a good mitigation of the circumstances.
This caught my attention during a Yankees scrimmage. Gerrit Cole had to give up ball he liked. He was dealing with it after a strikeout due to a new MLB COVID policy to change balls after too many hands touch a ball. That seems far too nebulous. It's like, if you want to tell me if it touches anybody's hands other than Gerrit Cole's, I can understand it. But too many hands? What's too many? One hand could be too many.
Yeah, you're right.
The first pitch with the new ball anyway, bomb. Miguel Andujar, who's good, took him deep. And we wondered if this, you know, there's going to be an issue this year. How many pitchers will be impacted by this new policy? You get some comfort level, a little familiarity. The seams feel right. The grip, the tackified. You got that little rag in your back pocket, so you can make it wet.
Yeah.
Boom, new ball.
It depends on how superstitious these guys are, because we know that that's what this question is referring to. Guys get superstitious about a particular ball, how it feels, and it's really maybe not even anything physical. It's mental. It's what they're believing, what type of pitch they believe they can throw, because this ball has the seam is just an inch higher or a quarter of an inch higher on this side, and so I can cut it a little bit harder. So it's all mental, I think. It's mostly mental, I think. So it's just who's strong-minded enough. But they'll adjust to this. I do believe this won't be an issue as the season gets underway.
Yesterday, the Blackhawks said they will not be changing their name. Does the NHL need to step in and force a name change to save face? No. This I know it's a term that's almost, you know, way overused, but this culture of this canceling of culture, pardon me, is not a uniform rule that applies to everybody. Every situation is different. Every situation calls for a thorough, you know, not investigation, but an analysis, some introspection. And if that's how they feel, I have no problem with it. That's fine.
I think your instinct is right. They do. I think they should review it, though. I think they should have the conversation at least, and not just outright, throw the hand, deny this.
Do we know that they didn't know?
I don't know. I don't know. This is just, I'm just reading the question as Samter wrote it. This is not the same situation as the Washington Redskins situation, where they're considering changing their name because it's a pejorative. But as we talked about last week, BT, Native Americans don't want to be mascots, and so I don't know if the Blackhawks are viewed as offensive.
Yeah.
As some others, but I think they have to at least entertain and have conversations about it, even if they don't have the intention of changing.
Little background for you. A noted warrior, he fought with the British against the Americans in the War of 1812, opposed Ku Klux policies of accommodation with the U.S. government, was defeated in a brief conflict with U.S. troops known as the Black Hawk War, which was in 1832. I'm not sure if it's fully derived from that, but yeah. I just wanted to read that. It's all good. All right, last one here. Little UFC. Usman and Masvidal have been set as the main event. We're already up to UFC 251 on Fight Island. Will we watch UFC 251 just to see the scene at Fight Island?
No.
I am less motivated to see this one.
Look,
I do admit it.
Look, we knew this was coming for a while, BT. The location is one thing. Hey, we're having a great whatever at Vegas. We're having a great fight in Abu Dhabi or wherever the heck they went overseas. We're doing X, Y, and Z. We're having a great fight at Fight Island. If you don't have the stars, it's less interesting to me. So the answer to the question simply is no.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Yeah, I just found an article from, this is a while ago, 2015, which seems like three decades ago, not just 5 years. How is the Blackhawks name any less offensive than the Redskins? Like the Washington franchise, the Chicago hockey team has a Native American name, but the history it evokes is better worth remembering. So this is more favorable. And this goes back to the War of 1812, everything that I referenced historically, and obviously I can't read this whole thing on the air, but it is, the long and short is that it's more favorable than Redskins.
Yeah.
I meant to ask you this the other day, because Tiki grew up as a Redskins fan, for those who might not know, most of you do know, but would you be okay with the Washington Skins? Because you can kind of keep that, everybody, I call them the Skins more than I call them the other name. What do you think?
I never thought about it. Maybe. I'd have to, think about what that would mean. And honestly, BT, no matter what they come up with, whether it's the Red Hawks or Red Tails is what I should say instead, or the Skins, it's just going to be how they image it and brand it, right? Because what it stands for is going to be most important. It probably, and if I think about it more, it's probably too closely tied to the Redskins. But I'd have to think about that. It's a good question, though.
Yeah. I know we got to go. But one I heard in the last couple of days, this one's pretty interesting. I laughed, but then I'm like, it's not bad. You ready?
Go ahead.
The Washington Pigskins.
Ah.
Think about it.
That's actually a good one.
It's not bad. The Pigskins.
Because they were the Hogs, right?
Uh-huh. Right? Pigskins, football team. I don't know. Teak, have a great Wednesday night, buddy. Catch you tomorrow.
You too, brother.
Thank you, man. Everybody out there, be safe, sensible, and sane. And we will catch you tomorrow. Radio.com if you miss anything. Peace. Gotta go.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.